Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. I'm glad that you're with us tonight. If you're driving along 95 and listening in the car or on the turnpike, please be careful. If you're in Palm Beach, I understand there's a whole bunch of traffic around. If you're up on the Treasure Coast listening on 106.9, please also be careful, but hopefully there's less traffic. And, of course, the weather's good, a whole lot better than the weather was over the last couple of weeks. Tonight's show, frankly, given what we've all just been through, could not have been more timely. I wish I could say I did that on purpose or that it was pre-planned, but it wasn't. The horrendous impact of Dorian for the Bahamas, of course, is really terrible to watch. I guess at some level we have to be thankful that it didn't happen to us. But if it had, you might likely have needed an emergency room. And one of the emergency rooms that is so important to our area is Good Samaritan's freestanding emergency room on Okeechobee near Century Village and, of course, at the hospital. And my guest tonight is the medical director of those emergency rooms. And we're going to talk about the difference between urgent care and emergency room. We're going to talk about what an emergency room can, why you would go to a freestanding emergency room. We're also going to talk, because, again, the timing couldn't have been more propitious for us, we're going to talk about what the preparation for Dorian inflicted on people and why they ended up in the emergency room perhaps more frequently or sooner or if at all than they wanted to. So anyway, it's a really, really important subject. My guest, Dr. George Gerdach, is here. As I said, he is the medical director of Good Samaritan Emergency Department, and we're going to talk about the freestanding emergency room, which you may or may not know exists, and of course, the emergency room at the hospital. I do again want to send my heartfelt prayers to the people of the Bahamas. Many of us here locally know people who have family or ourselves have family there. When you look at the devastation, it's hard to comprehend. I know that we all want to help, and that is the nature of who we are here. I think we all should value that. The thing that I would caution you on is to please vet the charities that you're going to give to. There's a whole lot of scammers out there. And I know, as generous as you all are, as generous as my listeners are, you want to make sure that what you give gets to the people that it is intended to. So give until it hurts, but give to people that you can support and know that will do a good job. I'm going to get to my guest in a second and read his bio. There is a new movie I'm going to be talking a lot about in the next few weeks called When All That's Left Is Love. It's a movie that I'm proud to be associated with. We're going to help sponsor it. I'm going to tell you more about it. There's a lot of showings around, a lot of screenings around coming up. If you see a screening for that movie, I encourage you to go see it. It will be a game changer, particularly if somebody in your family has Alzheimer's or dementia. But if there's any other chronic disease in your family, it's a movie that's really, really important. But now to my guest, because that's why you all tuned in. Dr. George Gerdach is board certified in emergency medicine, and he is currently the medical director for Good Samaritan Medical Center's emergency department. Dr. Gerdach completed his undergraduate education at Wilkes University and went on to receive his medical degree from the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. He then completed his emergency medicine residency at Albert Einstein Medical Center in Philadelphia. Dr. Gerdach moved to South Florida in 2004 after completion of his residency and has been practicing at Good Sam since 2011. He is a member of the American College of Emergency Physicians and held a prior teaching affiliation with the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine. Dr. Gerdock was the recipient of Team Health's Medical Director of the Year Award in 2017 and currently lives in West Palm Beach with his wife, Dr. Mignon Metcalf, and their two kids. Dr. Gerdock, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Welcome. Doing wonderful.
Great. So I started by saying there aren't a lot of people that know Good Sam has a freestanding, state-of-the-art ER on Okeechobee. So why don't we start at the 30,000-foot level? Tell us about that, where it is, and what's important there.
Great. Yeah, it's at the corner of Haverhill and Okeechobee. And when we started to look at this project several years ago, we wanted to be in an area that would make a difference for our community, our West Palm Beach community, and make sure that the patients that we would serve would actually have a need, and it was something that the community needed in that area. You see in the where it's located, a lot of those patients and their primary physicians actually come to Good Samaritan, and there was nothing west for them to go to other than going to Wellington or to potentially Palms West. So it enabled us to be able to have our footprint and be able to manage the patients that would normally come to Good Samaritan for their less acute emergencies and be able to take care of them. And so you look at Century Village in the area and that surrounding community, there's a lot of a need for emergency services within that area.
And as I think about it, I know there's a couple of assisted living communities out there that are freestanding. It's a prime location. How long has it been open? I don't know.
So we've been open a little over 2 months now.
Oh, so it is really brand new.
It is brand new.
So it's excusable if people didn't know it was there. Let's talk about, which was not the plan when we first planned the show, but let's talk about Hurricane Dorian. In preparing for the hurricane, I probably would guess that a lot of people experienced some emergencies they didn't anticipate in preparation. Is that right?
Well, I think there's a lot of injuries and more of it's accidents during that time period. And then there's also dealing with chronic medical conditions like dialysis patients or COPD patients, patients that are dependent upon electricity or dependent on stuff to run their nebulizer machine or if their dialysis center is going to be closed. But then you take the actual preparation that patients are providing themselves and their families for the hurricane and falls, power tool injuries, electrical injuries, you name it. We've seen just about everything while people are preparing for the hurricane and they're trying to take care of their family. And then again, you have a whole team of medical clinicians and nurses and ancillary staff that are trying to prepare their families along with be there to serve our community.
And I guess that's important. I probably should have asked that even first. The ER there is a fully staffed emergency room. And we're going to come back and talk about the difference between it and an urgent care. But if you need an emergency room and you can't make that trip all the way to another hospital, if you're in that area, you are fully equipped to deal with pretty much the same emergencies that the emergency room at the hospital would be able to deal with, right?
You're 100% correct. We are the emergency department of any hospital, just without the weight of the hospital above us. And so we have a full complement of emergency nurses, ancillary staff, medics, registrars, radiology technicians, lab technicians. We have a CAT scanner in-house there that's open 24/7, 365 with our department, ultrasound capability, blood testing. And again, you have board-certified emergency physicians there that are there 24/7, 365, just as they would be in any emergency department.
And I think that's important to repeat. 24/7, 365, board-certified emergency physicians on site. That's really quite remarkable, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, what it allows for is us to be in a position to still care for those patients like we would in our regular emergency department. And, sometimes patients, though, are a little bit sicker than they initially present. They need more stabilization. But with not having the weight of the hospital above us, we actually have all the capabilities of our hospital, including our medical staff and our consultants and a lot of things that urgent cares or primary doctor's offices may not have, and the ability, without having the weight of the hospital, people are seen immediately when they come into our freestanding or even our main department, but in the freestanding especially, because we've got that capability to see people right away. They're immediately put into a bed and triaged and seen by a clinician. Our goal is under 5 minutes.
That's amazing. Dr. Gerdock, you're responsible for both emergency rooms, the one at the hospital itself and of course the one that we're talking about, the freestanding, which is brand new. You're only open 2 months. You're there a few weeks, and Hurricane Dorian starts to show up, and then to complicate the situation, Good Samaritan Hospital itself has to be evacuated because you are in whatever evacuation zone the hospital is in. What was that like?
Right. Well, I think it's scary for all of us, right? Because there's the uncertainty of what we do in our personal lives. But then you also have, you look on the TV and you see this big monster storm and all that red, and you see it's going to potentially be 60 miles off our coast. And as we saw for the first couple of days, the forecast changes, right? So we're on the water, and we are in an evacuation zone, and we're in a building that is in excellent shape. It's still a 100-year-old building, and we need to make sure that our staff and our patients are secure. And so it's first and foremost. And so we don't want to have people come in unsafe conditions or potentially put them at any risk. So we had to evacuate the hospital. And, you know, the nice thing about where I work is just the community part of it, and then the staff, how excellent they were during this. To evacuate a whole hospital, our receiving facilities like Palm Beach Gardens or St. Mary's, they were on standby to take our patients. We had our medical staff go to those facilities and take care of those patients. And then our administrative team at Good Samaritan, they really put the patient first. Like, to give you an example, our CEO, Tara McCoy, she was there when we first started, and she was there until the last patient left our building at almost 11 o'clock on Sunday night. And so it was really, you take you know, all of the partners that we have in the community, the medical staff, the nurses, and our EMS, I mean, our West Palm Beach and our Palm Beach County and our AMR teams help move all these patients in short order in under 12 hours to evacuate a whole hospital. It's pretty astonishing.
Is that what it was, under 12 hours?
It was 12 hours from...
I can't kind of comprehend. I can't get my hands around. I mean, because in addition to the patient care and all the... For those who don't know and are just tuning in tonight, I myself was in the hospital a few weeks ago, so I know what goes on in the hospital. You have everything from security and maintenance and meal prep. You have patient care. You have nurses. You have the CNAs. You have physicians. You have the techs, and you got to take people who some may be critically ill, get them out of the hospital to another hospital in anticipation of a hurricane that may or may not come. And on top of that, the staff has their own families. Kudos to you.
Well, it's teamwork, and it's amazing teamwork that gets it done. And just recognizing that people, they have to take care of themselves, but they also put the patients first, and they really care about what happens to our patients and our community. And, you know, we are blessed to have an amazing team at Good Samaritan.
And I guess this is not terribly related specifically to ER, but that is one of the advantages of being at a tenant hospital, is that you have partner hospitals,
yeah,
right? So you're not just kind of scrambling for Good Sam, because you were able to draw on the resources of, I'm assuming, Palm Beach Gardens primarily and St. Mary's primarily, because they are the closest. But you really had an amazing ability to draw upon all of those resources.
Well, there's 10 hospitals in South Florida that are tenant owned, and so you look at that. You know, Palm Beach Gardens is our closest heart center, right? Essentially, it does open heart bypass and everything. You look at St. Mary's Hospital. St. Mary's is our stroke center, so we can make sure that we're placing the right patients that will need the right set of resources. And so that is one of our strengths in the area. We did have to send some patients prior down to Delray or other places for more advanced stuff, or traumas, or as at St. Mary's. But, you know, just that teamwork across multiple facilities is really what made this happen.
So you're there. Everybody's working. They're working in facilities that are unfamiliar with them. You still have a lot of emergencies, right?
So yeah, people are still walking in the door.
Walking in the door. So now it's time to reopen. How did you staff up for that? And there must, I'm guessing it was a little bit like Home Depot. As soon as they reopened, people are waiting to see you, to see a doctor at an emergency, because during the storm, they've taken a bad fall or something. Right?
Well, you're exactly right. That first 12 hours is usually very, very busy. When we plan for a storm, we usually have a team A and a team B. The team A usually comes in and stays throughout the storm, whether it's clinical team or the nursing team or administrative or ancillary teams, and then there's a team B. So immediately when we knew that we were evacuating, our team A was on standby to be ready to come in and start serving our community when we're ready to open. So we opened as soon as it was safe, as soon as we knew that it was safe, that we need to be there for our community, so we opened up right away.
And do you open up both ERs?
We open up both simultaneously.
Simultaneously. So let's talk about the difference between an emergency room and an urgent care, because I think people don't really grasp necessarily what, and I know there are a lot of differences, and this may be a bigger conversation in just a minute or so, but what are the real differences between an ER and an urgent care?
Well, I think you look at just the capabilities of the emergency department. If we start there, 24/7, 365 board-certified emergency physicians. Urgent cares may or may not have emergency physicians there. Some are family medicine docs. Some are APCs or advanced practice clinicians like PAs and physician assistants and nurse practitioners. And so you start there. It's a little bit different staff at time. But again, being open 24/7, 365, urgent cares usually have some hours. An urgent care can do some minimal testing with some blood work, maybe some ultrasound and EKG, but we have the full capabilities of a hospital lab, the CT scanner that is right there in our emergency department. We have ultrasound, we have advanced airway, if we have to put in a chest tube, or if God forbid someone codes, we're able to do a full cardiac resuscitation right there. We're going to stabilize initially any heart attack or stroke or trauma patient and then transfer them on if need be. Urgent cares are more for more minor injuries, the cuts, the scrapes. And then urgent cares definitely have their place in our healthcare system. And again, it's usually for the more or less acute stuff, or like workman's comp injuries, the minor injuries, or school physicals, coughs, colds, but we can handle all of that, plus those real emergencies that need to be dealt with, those seconds to minutes emergencies.
And with all of that testing equipment, can you get results right away? Can you read results right away? I mean, you can get blood work back. You can get everything that you need to...
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, we have almost all the testing that we need for immediate stabilization is available, like a blood count. You know, sometimes you go to the doctor, it takes a day or two before they get the blood count back. We usually have that back in under 60 minutes there. Or your electrolytes. The CT scanning, the image, we have a full complement of radiologists that read for multiple local facilities. So they always have someone on standby that's ready to read if that CAT scan's done. So our goal from the completion of the study to get a reading is under 20 to 30 minutes. So we can know that right away. And if it's a true emergency like a stroke or a heart attack, we get the stuff back even faster.
And particularly in the case of stroke, we'll come back and talk about stroke in a little bit, but particularly time is brain. I mean, I know I've heard that expression often, so that if you detect a real stroke, going to you right away as opposed to driving across town, it could be a real game changer. It can save your brain. That's really impressive. And I wasn't thinking about it until you just said it, but the technology available today is such that you can draw on a radiologist, even though they may not be physically next to you. They can read those images instantaneously.
Right? Yeah, it's transmitted as soon as the study is done.
That's
sometimes
amazing.
Even while it's being done, they get different parts of the study. And everyone looks at the CAT scan. Well, it's not like the old days, the X-ray, when you saw on Trapper John, they put it up to the ring, right? So a CAT scans thousands of those images that they're flipping through and looking through in real time to kind of create that anatomical picture for them to review. And then they take the clinical... what the clinical situation is. Like a patient may come in with abdominal pain and they're tender in their lower part of the right side of their abdomen. Well, they're able to get through those images and look through it and then be able to say, well, wait a minute, that looks like appendicitis. And so taking their reading with our clinical, you know, the clinical information pieces we have is how we kind of come to a diagnosis and we're able to provide the emergent treatment.
That's really fascinating. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm having a terrific conversation tonight. If you're just tuning in, I'm sorry that you missed the beginning, but stick around. I'm talking to Dr. George Gerdach. Dr. Gerdach is the emergency medical, he is the medical director for Good Samaritan Center's emergency department. I want to get that proper. Responsible for both their emergency rooms. Now, I said both. Yes, that was not a mistake, because there is the one at the hospital, but there is a new freestanding one on Okeechobee and Haverhill, which most people don't know is there because it has only been opened for about 2 weeks. It's a fascinating facility if you've been listening. It can do so much. It's open 24/7, 365. And true to form, Dr. Gerdach moved down here a few weeks before a hurricane, and he opened this new facility a couple of weeks before a hurricane. So he's either the kiss of death or we're lucky to have him. I'll choose the latter. We're lucky to have him. Dr. Gerdach is board certified in emergency medicine. If you have questions for him or for me, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by 6 family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition, and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm glad that you're with us. I hope you all survived the hurricane well. If you're just tuning in, I'm here tonight with Dr. George Gerdach. Dr. Gerdach is the medical director of Good Samaritan's Emergency Hospital locations, plural. Not only is there an ER at the hospital in Palm Beach, but there's a new freestanding ER, fully staffed 24/7, 365 on Haverhill and Okeechobee. Freestanding ERs are not unique, but they are rare, and having one presents a tremendous opportunity for people in need to get prompt attention where otherwise they might not, because it's too far to travel to the hospital. So freestanding ER. So Dr. Gerda, we were talking before the break about the difference between urgent care and ER. And of course, one of the differences is kind of what you treat and the fact that you're available 24/7, 365. And that's really a tremendous advantage. So are there other differences that we should understand more clearly about urgent care and ER differences before I ask my next 27,000 questions?
Well, yeah. One of the other things that we're capable of is EMS receiving, right? So if we have ambulances, our community partners, West Palm Beach, Fire and Rescue, West Palm, AMR, they're able to bring us patients that they see that are fit. Now, they've done an excellent job at pre-hospital triage, meaning that if they see someone have an obvious big stroke, they go to St. Mary's, they go to the stroke center, or if it's a trauma, you know, in 95, they're not bringing the major traumas or anything like that, nor should they. They need to go to the trauma center, to the stroke center, where it's most appropriate.
Right.
But we do have a, a void that we can fill in the community for those less acute emergencies, say if it's just a minor fall or someone's feeling a little weak and dizzy, that we can bring those patients to us, stabilize them, and a lot of times the goal is to get them back to their families and get them back to their primary docs. And where we're located especially, a lot of those patients around there, there are some snowbirds, but most of them are there year-round. They have community physicians, so we're able to see them, treat them, and get them back. So that's one of the biggest differences for us than in urgent care is being able to have EMS receiving capability.
And I don't want to speak out of turn, but because you're part of the Good Samaritan Hospital Program and the Tenet Hospital Group, if you're properly insured, you can go, right, and have the same impact at your ER as if you were to drive all the way downtown to Good Samaritan Hospital, right?
And it is the same care. It's the same physicians, the same nurses. We've got an awesome nursing team led by Deborah Armstrong, my ER nursing director, my assistant director, Adam Goldstone. And we've really kind of put our heart and soul into making this happen. But the care is the same. And you did touch on the insurance. It doesn't matter if you're insured, uninsured. Part of EMTALA, which, you know, makes sure that every person that actually needs healthcare gets it. You can walk into any emergency department in the United States and you can get treatment regardless of where you're from, what your insurance status is. And so our emergency departments are the same.
And that is important. And I thank you for sharing that. So what's the typical emergency that walks through your front door?
So we get anything from infections. You see people get skin infections, abscess, abdominal pain is one of our biggest complaints, back pain, chest pain, stroke symptoms. You know, the stroke symptoms are something that you can't wait for. I mean, time is brain. You need to get to a hospital right away if you're experiencing symptoms like that, weakness in arm, trouble seeing, dizzy. And a lot of times we find that patients wait. And they wait. They think it's going to get better. Fever. We hear of sepsis. People talk about sepsis all the time, especially in our more tenured community members, that we need to make sure that, hey, just that fever of 102 and I'm 85 years old, that, well, wait a minute, it could be the flu, but it could be something more ominous. And so it's important to be seen right away for that, to get fluids and antibiotics and make sure it's not a life-threatening bacterial illness.
So I'm probably as guilty of this as my listeners, all right? I don't need to go to the ER. I'll be fine. I know it's Friday at 10 o'clock. My doctor will be in on Monday, maybe Tuesday. Why should we get up and go to the ER, right? Or when should we get up and go to the ER? Why and when?
Well, why and when? When you listen to patients, they are usually right with what's wrong with them.
Right.
And I mean, 9 times out of 10, they're pretty on the spot, plus whatever they've Googled or their historical family members or what their uncles told them. And, you know, I've seen as, you
good
know,
old
as
Dr. Google.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, you see over time, it's, you know, especially with my father, even he's almost 80. And so it's gone from a time where he always used to tell me what to do all through my life. Now I tell him what to do. At some point, I'm not sure what that age is, but we switch. And so trying to get people to go. And, you know, if you're experiencing chest pain, you know, it may not just be indigestion, or if you're having that abdominal pain, there could be a surgical emergency in your abdomen. The infections are, you know, one of those things like meningitis we hear of, or the flesh-eating bacteria. People think, well, it's a little skin, I have a little bit of fever, it's a little bit red, and then 12 hours later it turns into this big overwhelming infection in their body. And so it's, if you really think that you need it, you need to be seen.
Yeah. And I'll tell you a story when we come back, but I'm one of those guys that kept putting off my chest pain, putting it off. Finally, I had a physician on the radio one night, and the next day I had the same pain, and I thought, yeah, maybe this time is different, and I ended up driving myself to the ER, and of course, a day later, I was stented. So what you're saying is absolutely true. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here tonight with a most enjoyable guest, most informative guest, Dr. George Gerdach, who is here as the medical director of Good Samaritan's Emergency Program. He is the medical director of both their locations. I say both because there is a new freestanding ER on Haverhill and Okeechobee that is only 2 months old. It's really, really important, and if you've been listening, you understand why. We have lots more to ask Dr. Gerdach, but if you have questions about emergency care, about that particular emergency center, or about anything at all relevant to what we're talking about tonight, give us a call, 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're here tonight live. We hope you all survived the hurricane well. We were, in fact, very lucky. If you were not lucky, if in the preparation you injured yourself, or had we been more impacted by that, you might very well have needed the services of my guest tonight. Dr. George Gerdach is the medical director of Good Samaritan Hospital's emergency departments. He is responsible for both of their locations, the one in West Palm attached to the hospital, and a brand new one on Haverhill and Okeechobee that just opened up about 2 months ago. And we've been talking about the difference between ER, urgent care. We've been talking about what you can and cannot do at an ER. Dr. Gerdach, what I'd like to ask is, I don't feel well. I think I need to come to the emergency room. I come to the emergency room. I walk through that front door. What's going to happen to me? How long am I going to wait? Who am I going to see? What's going on?
Well, you know, our goal is to get you in front of a clinician in under 5 minutes. So our nursing team is fantastic at immediately getting patients from, you actually kind of bypass the waiting room. And that's true of actually our main hospital too. Since my tenure there, which is almost 8 or 9 years, our volume has grown, but yet our waiting room has shrunk. And again, it's putting the patient first. So we do our best to put you right into a bed. Now, sometimes we have heart attacks or there's some unstable patients we still have to deal with and just having one clinician on. But our goal is to get you right back to a bed right away where you're seen by a nurse, you're put through the triage process, but it's done at the bedside as opposed to the window and just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting with, you know, questions and things unanswered. And, you know, you've got severe abdominal pain. The days of waiting in the waiting room are over, especially at our freestanding. We take patients back right away. We do a joint triage with our triage nurse and our clinician. From that standpoint, it depends on the nature of the situation. If you have a small cut or you fell, we'll order some x-rays. We'll clean up the cut, get you a tetanus shot, fix the laceration if we need to. But if it's something more severe, like you're having chest pain, we've got the capability to do heart enzymes and EKGs and chest x-rays. And if it's an abdominal pain, we can do a CT scan, or if you think it's your gallbladder, we can do an ultrasound. And so we've got that capability to do that stuff right at the bedside, splint any kind of fractures if need be, and then have the appropriate referral to our list of on-call orthopedists or ENT doctors or gastroenterologists or surgeons. So we've got that full capability to be able to manage. But, you know, you can expect to be seen by a clinician or a nurse right away. You know, the whole process of getting blood work, usually we try to get that done in all under 60 minutes.
Wow.
Now, there is some tests, you know, God forbid we suspect meningitis and I have to do a spinal tap. Well, that blood, that fluid that we obtain by doing a spinal tap needs to go to our main hospital. Now, if we walk through the process and we do find it's appendicitis, we speak to the surgeon, we'll speak to an admitting physician, and we'll have you transferred over to the Good Samaritan hospital. And it's been taking historically now for the last 6 weeks where we've been open or so, about the same time as it takes to get a bed from the emergency department. Either way, it's about the same time. So you're not delayed even with the transfer in there.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Somebody comes in and it's kind of worse than they thought it is, and now they have to go to the hospital. It's a stroke, and I know I asked you on during the break, or it's a heart situation. So you have the ability to send to more than one hospital. How do they get from you to the hospital, and do you decide which hospital they're going to? Is it always automatically going from the freestanding ER, Good Sam ER, that you automatically go to Good Sam, or can you go to PBG, or Palm Beach Gardens for those who aren't familiar, or St. Mary's if it's a stroke? So how does that process work?
Well, it depends on the case. And so we always try to do this in communication with your primary physician or your consultants that you may have. But if you come through our door and we see that you've signs of a big stroke, you need to be at the stroke center. We're going to get you to the stroke center, especially within that golden 3 hours or so we can administer the TPA or even do an intervention if need be. You know, if it's a cardiac, we've had patients come in with chest pain and we're able to get them to our cath lab in under 90 minutes and have that vessel opened up, you know, from the freestanding emergency department. So it depends on the clinical situation. But again, we try to streamline those processes and you'd be moved over by ambulance. But again, it's making sure that the patient's going to the right place. If it's a trauma, someone fell off a ladder of 12 feet and they are picked up, or a gunshot wound, well, you need to go to the trauma center. We'll do the initial stabilization there if you needed what's called a chest tube to relieve pressure from bleeding, or if someone needs to be put on a breathing tube, we'll take care of that stuff and do the immediate stabilization, then transfer you to the appropriate place. And then patient request, right? If you say that, well, wait a minute, all my consultants are at Palm Beach Gardens Hospital, that's where my cardiologist is, that's where we're going to transfer you.
And you can do, and it doesn't matter. And so accessing an ambulance is reasonably, right? I mean, if you're calling, they're going to pay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have, you know,
pay attention.
Exactly. So we have our AMR units that are on standby to come and help us move those patients. But if it's a clinical urgency, we had an emergency the other night, and our Palm Beach County partners help us. And so anytime that there is something that's, hey, it came through the door and it's a little bit sicker, they're on standby always to help us and to serve the community.
This may be a silly question, and I apologize if it is. If EMS brings to you first for stabilization, and you can tell pretty instantly that they really need to get to the trauma center, for example, will EMS hang out until you make that determination and then just keep them, get them back in the ambulance and bring them over?
Does that ever happen? Yeah, it has happened. Well, it hasn't happened here yet, but it does happen, right? So, you know, sometimes, you know, in the field, They do an excellent job triaging, but it's a hard job. And sometimes things don't always turn out what they look like at the first glance. So we can perform any stabilization. And under the EMTALA Act, we have to see the patient stabilize them and do a medical screening exam. And that's our duty. We have to do that. We want to do that. At the same time, you know, especially trauma, that golden hour means a difference. So we need to stabilize, make the emergent calls that have to be done. And again, it's going to a higher level of care, which would be the trauma center.
Right. It's really fascinating to me. I'm going to ask you again. I have to think the time of day has a big impact on the type of emergency that you see and the day of the week, right? You, drunk driving accidents, other types of things on the weekend are a lot different than they are Tuesday, yeah, right? That kind of thing.
You know, I've been surprised over the years. You can kind of get what's going to happen after Friday night, after the bar closes, or after New Year's Eve or St. Patrick's Day. At the same time, though, especially with like the opiate crisis, right? We've seen overdoses at any time, you know, 6 a.m. on a Monday morning. And so we're on standby to deal with any emergency whenever it comes in. But it is predictable. You know, after Thanksgiving, we had a lot of patients with congestive heart failure. We ate a little bit too much. We didn't really take our Lasix. But, you know, we're here for them. We take care of them and get them to Christmas. Or
I wish you were open in November because I broke my shoulder on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, wow.
And I can tell you with 100% certainty and authority, I can tell my listeners with 100% certainty and authority how important what you're saying really is. Having a physician on site 24/7 is a game changer if you don't understand it, because I went someplace that didn't and I paid a price for it. But
pain, right?
And the pain was unbelievable. Broken shoulder was terrible. But anyway, if you're just tuning in to Scott Greenberg, and we are talking about emergency rooms, we are talking with the medical director of Good Samaritan Hospital's emergency rooms. Rooms plural, because they have a new freestanding ER on the corner of Haverhill and Okeechobee, and he's also responsible for the hospital. But because of that, we've also talked about transferring people to a stroke center, to the trauma center, or to the cardiac cath lab if necessary. It's really quite amazing what emergency departments do. We're also going to talk a little bit about falls and how important that is in terms of emergencies. We have a host of things to still talk to my guest about, Dr. George Gerdock, who is the medical director of Good Samaritan Hospital's emergency medical department. So if you're just tuning in and you have questions for Dr. Gerdock or for me, you can reach us 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're with us. If you're just tuning in, it's a shame you missed this entire show because we've been talking about something that can be life-saving. We haven't really talked about that very much, about the life-saving nature of emergency treatment and the speed with which care being administered to you can be the difference between not only life and death, but the quality of life if you survive. So we were talking about strokes, and we're going to get there in a minute. I'm here tonight with Dr. George Gerdach. He is the medical director of Good Samaritan's Emergency Medical Team, both at Good Sam Hospital in Palm Beach and at their new freestanding community or freestanding ER at Okeechobee and Haverhill. Dr. Gerdach, when people, well, a couple of things. One, the new ER, the freestanding ER, that's across the street from Century Village. And by definition, the population, I'm going to assume, that walks through your front door is typically older than the, we were talking about Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania before, yeah, before skiing, right? Those are young people with skiing accidents. That's different than what's coming through your front door. So that presents a couple of unique problems for you, I assume. Does it? Am I right? Does the fact that the population is older present some unique situations for you?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, in recognizing the challenges that we have as we age, are we confused about our medications? What medications are we on? So the coordination of care with primary physicians is paramount for this set of patients. We become unstable, we fall. I mean, I'm starting to feel it now. As we get up in the middle of the night, we have to go to the bathroom more, and what right. happens? The light's off, we slip or fall. And so, you know, some of those falls can be minor, but others are, to someone that lives alone, is scary. And, you know, did they fracture a hip or break their back? And so, you know, there's things that we have to be in tune for. So we're working on getting an accreditation for our Geriatric Center of Excellence there as well. So, and what that does is just a heightened level of awareness for our staff to know how to deal with these emergencies. And again, the most important thing is communicating with the physicians that care for these patients. A lot of times people don't remember their medications. But now with the advent of the smartphone, right, everyone, you know, if you have your medication list, take a picture of it, file it away under something so people can see it's important. Or, you know, if you had that old EKG and you know you're a heart patient, that way people, it provides valuable information when it could be a seconds to minute emergency. So that's kind of our focus for our department.
And because the older population, the medications that they're taking could change very I mean, they might have just visited a doctor 2 weeks ago. And one of the reasons they fell during the night is because they're on this new medication. They woke up, they got dizzy, and they fell. So it's really, I mean, that's got to be really, really
You're
important,
exactly right. And right? There's a list of things we think about. Well, could someone have had a stroke? Is it medication related? Was it just a mechanical fall? I got up and I tripped because the light wasn't on. And so it's important to recognize the complications of medications. And not everyone, you know, presents the same way with urinary tract infection in an 80-year-old person can present just as altered mental status.
Right.
So knowing what that is and then timely recognition of strokes or surgical processes in the abdomen or heart attacks or sepsis, right? We all talk about sepsis now and how important that is for early treatment. So recognizing it early is very, very important. And our team is able to recognize that early on and provide treatment. At the same time, coordinate the care with the local doctors, because the one thing, the Century Village community, they have their doctors around the area, and they like to know that their doctors are involved in their care, and plus their doctors can provide important aspects that we may not remember all the time.
Yeah, I think that's so important to have a list of your doctors, their contact information, to have both your specialist, obviously, and your primary care, all of your medications. I've had the trauma center folks on from St. Mary a couple of times over the years, recently, in fact. And I was stunned that 50% of all emergency room visits for people over 65 are as the result of a fall. Are you experiencing the same in the new facility?
Well, we have seen a large amount of falls so far. And, you know, one of the things that we think about is not just the medication that they're on that maybe caused the fall, but what are the effects of the medication they're on, like an anticoagulant or a blood thinner like Xarelto or Coumadin, and how that can affect. They can bleed internally. They can bleed within their brain. So it's important to recognize that stuff. So falls are what we do see a lot of that. We see a lot of weak and dizzy, and I've seen patients that are weak and dizzy that, you know, could be anemic or a urinary infection or a stroke. So it's really tailoring your history and your physical exam with the information that the patient provides or their physician provides, or even old records, as we've got the electronic medical records now. You know, we can see the records from the hospital. We can see the prior consultants, and that's huge to piece everything together to make sure we're providing the early emergent care.
This is really an example of knowledge being power, and it's also really important, if at all possible, because people come to you, they must be incredibly stressed, right? If you can keep it written down or keep it on that smartphone, it really makes all the difference in the world. You know, if you just tuned in tonight, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. And, yes, we're here live tonight. We hope that you did well in the hurricane and that Dorian treated you reasonably well. We're back live. I myself have had my own medical problems the last 3 or 4 weeks, so the shows have been repeats. But anyway, we're here tonight with Dr. George Gerdach from Good Samaritan Emergency Medical Director. But anyway, if you just tuned in and you missed the show and you're sorry that you did, the good news is that you can still listen to it because we podcast the show. We will be up and running on OMG. I'm getting, that's the podcast. I don't know if those are call letters or how you describe it. I'm not a podcaster myself. But if you search OMG, I'm getting, up will pop. We'll be up tomorrow, and you can listen to the whole show if you missed it and you're sorry you did. If you're not a podcaster but you'd still like to listen to the show, the good news is that you can, because we put it up on our website as well. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Comfort Care, C-O-M. F-O-R-C-A-R-E. Don't put a T in there as much as you want to. Don't do that. You'll never find us. Palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Of course, if you don't have a radio, and many of you don't any longer, you do have a smartphone. We were just talking about smartphones. There is an app for that. You can listen to us wherever you are with your smartphone. Just download the TuneIn Radio app. TuneIn, T-U-N-E-I-N, one word. Radio app, it's free. Just set the reminder to listen to WSVU. Those are our call letters at 6 o'clock on Mondays, and then we'll be there. And, of course, we do simulcast, www.trueoldiesfla.com, locally, around the country, around the world. Next week, a returning guest, a guest I had so much fun with the first time I asked her to come back, Dr. Suzanne Fuchs is coming. She is from Lux Podiatry, and she's really not the kind of podiatrist that comes in and trims your nails. That's not what she does, although she does do that. She's really doing a lot of unique things about foot care and with foot care. Last time she was here, we had a great show. We had a lot of fun. It was really informative. I got a lot of great comments. And so I asked her to come back, and she graciously said yes. And so I am looking forward to having Dr. Fuchs here next week. In 2 weeks, we're going to mix it up and change the subject. We're going to talk about elder fraud, abuse, and exploitation, particularly post-hurricane, but all the time. Elder fraud, abuse, and exploitation is epidemic in our community. Around the country, there's about 19% of the population over 65. In Palm Beach County, it's almost 24%. So it's much more prevalent here. So we have the Social Security scam. We have, if you've heard of it, we have it right here in Palm Beach County. So Kate Kramer is going to be here. She is the project director of the Elder Rights Center for the Area Agency on Aging, the Aging and Disability Resource Center. She's an expert on this. We're going to bring you up to speed on the latest things to be careful about. Nobody is coming to arrest you if you don't pay them. I heard today about FPL saying they were going to shut off your power if you didn't pay it in 30 minutes. Those are frauds, those are scams, and we're going to tell you how to avoid those. And just a heads up, each year, because this is so important, we are about to approach open enrollment. That is from October 15th to December 7th. That's when those of us who are over the age of 65, I say those of us because I am one of you, when we're over the age of 65, we get the opportunity to relook at our Medicare options, Part A, Part B, Part D, or Medicare Advantage. Your mailbox is about to be filled up with offers of the greatest thing since sliced bread on all of the great new insurance products that are out there. It's really, really, really important that you know what you're doing before you do it. So there is a free program called SHINE, Serving the Health Insurance Needs of Elders, and the director of that is Desiree Mearns, and she's going to be here on September 30th. And it's a most, most, most important show. So we have a full spectrum of great and informative shows coming your way. None, however, more important than my guest tonight, Dr. George Gerdach, who is the medical director of Good Samaritan Hospital Medical Center's emergency director. Dr. Gerdach, I can't thank you enough for all the great information that you've given us tonight. Is there one thing that's really important for the audience to understand about emergency medicine and why it is so important? And if in doubt, should they err on the side of caution and come to you or wait?
Well, first of all, it's been my pleasure to be here, and thank you so much for the invite. Exactly what you said. Don't wait. We are trained to find the subtle signs and symptoms that could be warning signs to something bad. And a lot of those emergency processes have seconds to minutes to make them better. And so just if you feel something's not right, it's usually not right. So you're better off getting checked out.
And let's remind everybody where the new freestanding ER is.
So as opposed to our main campus of Good Samaritan down on Flagler, this is 5028 Okeechobee Boulevard, and this is our off-campus emergency department site. And again, even though we're off-campus, we are the Good Sam team, the Good Samaritan family, and again, it's got the whole weight of the whole hospital behind us. So everything that we do at our main emergency department, we have the capabilities to stabilize there.
24/7, 365. Unless you've been evacuated.
I was just going to say, 24/7, 365 holidays, except for hurricanes, especially Cat 5s that are 60 miles offshore.
That's great. And we only have about a minute left, but you have the ability to do everything at this freestanding ER, right?
Any immediate stabilization, emergency medicine thing that we'd have to do, we've got the capabilities to do that there. And then we, again, have the ability to transfer, and our amazing medical staff is behind us. So anything that we need to do to further stabilize, we can either get you to the right place or get you to Good Sam, and we'll take care of you.
Fully staffed with a board-certified emergency physician, 24/7, 365.
24/7, 365.
Yeah. I said to you before that when I broke my shoulder on Thanksgiving, I went, of course, to an emergency room. And they couldn't have been nicer. I mean, they were great. They were. but there was no doctor there. So now if I ever do that again, which I hope I never have to do that again, I'm coming to you.
Give me my cell phone.
I'm coming to you. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. This area just survived a very scary time. The hurricane had us all on edge for a long, long time. Few of us may have put on a pound or two with all the snacks that we ate while we were locked up. But I do want to put a special thanks out there to people like Dr. Gerdock, to all of the people in all the emergency rooms, to all of the EMS, to the police, to the emergency services, to all of our local representatives. I think to the media, to everybody. We could not have been in better hands during a period of time where it could have gone the other way. Also, I want to send our prayers and our thoughts out to the people of the Bahamas. Again, I know that my audience is very generous. I know that you want to donate. I'm sure that those people can use all the help you can afford to give. Give till it hurts. Just please vet that you are giving it to a charity that is going to deliver the resources where they are most needed, and I encourage you to do so. So yes, oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom, here every Monday night talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We're on 95.9 in Palm Beach. We're on 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. Every Monday, 6 o'clock, talking about issues that are important to you. I want to thank my guest again for being here. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll see you next Monday. Have a good night, all. Oh my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom.